The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Cases are rising, and they could go yet as high as 100,000 a day.
So that's the Health Secretary in the UK, Sajid Javid, warning that if enough people do not take up the booster vaccinations and modify their behaviour, well, restrictions could return. So where has it gone wrong for the UK with soaring numbers? To get a handle on the factors driving the COVID surge, I'm joined now by Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Enda, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Good to speak to you again.
First of all, the numbers are pretty dispiriting.
Yeah, they are. So with 52,000 cases here yesterday, the day before we had 49,000, and for 9 days in a row now we've exceeded 40,000 cases. So it's only going in one direction. The weather is going to get worse, obviously, you know, British weather, Irish weather, exactly the same. So November, December, January, traditionally poor weather and months in which respiratory infections thrive and viruses thrive. So I think the big fear is what's to come. If it's like this in the last week of October, Sajid Javid, the health secretary, spelling it out, and this new advertising campaign on radio and TV today urging people to get vaccinated, we still have 5 million people over the age of 16 here who've not had a single jab yet.
Now, in this country, out of a population of 5 million, we have 300,000 people who've not had any jab and 70,000 people, these are adults over the age of 16, who have had one jab and not the other. And of course, nobody under 12 is vaccinated. So in the UK, and particularly in England, what are they saying is the reason for the high numbers? Has face masking diminished?
It's really interesting. That is a very good question about the face masks. I was on the tube yesterday coming back from a court case. Now, for months, I've been noticing on public transport very few people. You know, you'd see maybe 2 out of 10 wearing face masks. Yesterday, I think the news coverage the last few days, people have really taken notice of it. And yesterday on the tube, I was on the Central Line. I was on the District and Circle Line yesterday. A lot more people wearing face masks, and it's just almost overnight I think people have realized that actually this thing hasn't gone away. So I think what's gone wrong here, a lot of the government view, senior ministers, and the rhetoric has all been that, you know, build back better, this phrase Boris Johnson keeps using. If you notice, all his phrases only ever have three words. He keeps it really, really simple. The feeling from government was that the pandemic is done. One minister actually said on air, you know, it's all over, bar the shouting. COVID is all over, bar the shouting. And I think it's quite clear that it's not.
There are a number of weapons in the arsenal. We mentioned masking there and trying to get people to put back on their masks in areas of close contact. The booster jab campaign, is that already underway, or has that been a bit slow to get kick-started?
Look, I think they're doing well on that as well, because 4 million people have had a booster jab here now, and that's only been going a couple of months. So they're going to ramp that up. And the message on that advertising campaign that's gone out today is to get vaccinated, get boosted, get protected. That's the phrase they've been using with this. So I think their weapons and their armoury in terms of fighting COVID, plan A with Boris Johnson has always been to keep everything open, get rid of restrictions, but depend on this wall of protection that the vaccine has built up. And it has. I mean, it has been a resounding success here. The vaccination program has done really, really well. But ultimately, the Delta variant, I think, changed everything. It's more resilient, it's more contagious, and we're still seeing, you know, the last 3 days, by my calculation, we've had more than 500 COVID deaths in 3 days. And if I just look at the figures, the last 2 days, we've had 101,000 infections. And I mean, I live in rural Oxfordshire here. Just anecdotally, the amount of people who are getting COVID is almost like March and April levels of this year.
Dear, oh dear. The NHS, of course, will be under massive pressure. And, you can't magic up any more Nightingale beds than they did the last time.
No, that's all gone away. I mean, that's a phrase that we haven't heard here for a good 6 or 7 months. The Nightingale hospitals, like, they built them in the space of 72 hours. They got the military in, and then they were hardly used. So that was, and again, you know, there was a lot of decisions made at the very start of all of this, February, March last year, that people didn't know which way it was going to go. And if you remember, it was a very gloomy, dark outlook from the Prime Minister in that very first news conference, where he spelled it out and he said, you are going to know people who are going to die. And here we are now, we're pushing 140,000 COVID fatalities since the pandemic started. But I think the big fear is that the health service goes back to being almost on the brink of being overwhelmed like it was last winter. There are currently 6,000 people with COVID in British hospitals.
And just to clarify for us, Enda, if you do want to go to a pub or a nightclub or a restaurant, late night drinking establishment, what sort of checks do they do on you? Are they obliged to do on you for you to gain entry?
None whatsoever. In you go. If you've got money, come in. It's as simple as that. There are no checks whatsoever. Nobody's wearing face masks in pubs, in nightclubs. I mean, England has done things very differently to Wales, to Scotland, to Northern Ireland. But it's all open. Everything's open. And I mean, you don't even have to scan in. You know, when the first lockdown lifted and then the technology was there and the NHS COVID app, and you had to go on your COVID app, scan a barcode, check into the venue, and then if someone tested positive, you then had to isolate for 10 days. All of that has pretty much gone away. I mean, everything is open, pubs are packed, people are getting on with their lives, and human behavior here has been very much driven by the government telling people, crack on with it, COVID is over. And we're now learning that it's not. And I mean, if you look as well, the House of Commons, you don't see any MPs in the House of Commons wearing face masks or social distancing anymore. Cabinet ministers and cabinet meetings, you see when the pictures are taken, they're all around the table, they're in a confined space, yeah, and not one of them are wearing face masks.
I remember looking at the television coverage of the tribute to Sir David Amos, the Conservative MP who was murdered. And in the House of Commons, they were cheek by jowl because it was packed, a packed house, and not a mask in sight. I think I may have seen one on the back benches. And speaking of that particular case, a man has been charged.
Yes, he has. So I was in court yesterday at the Westminster Magistrates Court. He is a 25-year-old with an address in North London. His name is Ali Harbi Ali. He spoke only to confirm his name, date of birth and address details. Two charges, one of murder and one of the preparation of terrorist acts, and he was remanded in custody. He will appear at the Old Bailey at 2 o'clock today. So that's the Central Criminal Court. So suspects, defendants, first appearance is always at Magistrates Court here. Magistrates Courts don't have the powers to deal with something as shocking as a murder charge. So that's why it's moved from Magistrates so quickly to Crown Court.
And finally, I should ask you about Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, because she had to cancel the visit to Northern Ireland yesterday for that service to mark the foundation of Northern Ireland. And she was told to rest, but she was hospitalised overnight.
Yeah, so this news broke at about 10 o'clock last night. We got wind that the Queen had actually been in hospital overnight and was kept in. So she went in apparently for preliminary tests. We're not being told what the tests are for. She's 95, remember. She turns 96 in April coming up. So she went to hospital. They kept her in. Her doctor's advice was that she not travel to the north this week, that she rest for a few days, and she took that advice. And now we know that she spent Wednesday night in hospital, and she was released yesterday lunchtime back to Windsor Castle. And the statement from the palace says that she is in good spirits. So that's as much as we know.
That's good to hear. You remember that Nigel Farage video thing, the video sharing platform called Cameo, through which celebrities offer to record personal messages for members of the public in return for a fee. I don't know whether you followed that story on Sky News.
And yeah, I've seen the story. Yeah, and
I want to play a couple of things. First of all, the original one where he was tricked into saying something in supporting the IRA. Have a listen to this.
This message is for Brian Kelleher, Brexiteer, and I hope you have a great birthday. This comes from your good friend Aidan. Now, It's a bit early in the day, so all I've got actually is coffee. But I hope you enjoy a few pints with the lads tonight. Up the rah!
Now, you would think after that experience that Nigel Farage would have learned his lesson, but then this happened.
Well, hello, Gerard. It's Nigel Farage here, and Colin and Mag have been on to me because they want to wish you a very happy 71st birthday, and they're looking forward to seeing you and some of the old team back at Chucky Arlaw's in Brighton. I've had the full story. You were the team leader there for many years, and they now want to wish you a belated 71st birthday, and they hope you're having a very happy retirement, as do I, Gerard. Enjoy.
Gerard, of course, Gerry Adams, enjoying himself at Chucky Arlaw's. But surely he couldn't be tricked a third time.
Good luck to all involved in the Honour Dawn fundraiser, hiking overnight at Honour Mountain in New South Wales until dawn on Friday. A lorry load of volunteers set off on Thursday, and the leader of the gallant band is Sean South. And this message comes from Gary Owen.
Shot south of Gary Owen. So this is the man who was the architect of Brexit. So there you are.
Yes,
I don't know what you make of that, Andy.
I haven't actually heard those videos, Pat, but do you know what? I'm just going to let that hang there. I'm not going to say anything.
No, wise not to get involved. Anyway, Enda Brady of Sky News, thank you very much for joining it. By the way, Nigel Farage says he joined the cameo to connect with people from all over the world in a more personal way. He's over 4,000 fans and a 5-star rating on the platform. So we await his next series of messages.